and reminding us of that. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And to think about, just so much has happened today, and Brother Graham has been with us. We met another good missionary couple that's coming home doing basically the same thing as Brother Graham is doing, but only from Argentina. And you know, the same message is preached in Argentina, as Brazil, as every other place that these missionaries go. Tell them about the cross of Jesus Christ. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm so glad to be saved. Maddie, Allie, Becca, Noah, Peyton, thank you for singing. And then the first song that started us off, Miss Kim and Mark and Renee, Brother Michael, thank you for all of it. And choir, thank you for a good oldie but a goodie, wonderful song. Just a blessed time to be in God's house. And, you know, I say this from time to time, but one of these days will be the last time we get to be in here. It really will. If it's not the last time for all of us together, it could be the last time for any of us individually. And I sure would hope it would be a service like this would be the last one. I'd hate to be in a business meeting where people were fighting and feuding, and that'd be the last one, wouldn't you? I'd sure rather have heaven come down and just touch your soul and my heart, and what a joy. Well, I'm going to preach for just a little while, and I'd love to preach on something that is more thematic with what we're doing, but I'm preaching through 1 Peter, and trust the Lord in that. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, but I'm really, probably for the next couple of times that we gather together, I'll preach about the other verses, but I'm going to look at verse number 6 tonight. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, we're going to label that whole section, but I'll just look at verse number 6 tonight. So the Bible says, wherein, you find your place there in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I want to preach for a little while about trials or for a season. As I said, that covers this whole section that we just read, 6 down to 9. But we're really going to look just verse number 6. And next time I'll look at verses 7, 8, and 9 possibly, or 7 and then 8 and 9. But I want to look here where it says in verse number 6. This is a verse we don't like because it tells us the things that we don't enjoy. We see in verse number 6, we greatly rejoice. We like that part. We'll get to that at the end of the message. But though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Someone said it like this. You're either in a storm right now, meaning the winds are blowing and things are rough and you're having a tough time. I'm thinking about different folks that we've seen that we've tried to pray for and pray through this time. I think about Miss Lisa's got losing her father. I'm thinking about Miss Kim losing her father. And we come through storms. Somebody said you're either in a storm, you're just coming out of one, or one's on the horizon, or maybe you're doing all three of them. You're in one, you just got out of one, and another one's coming. It may all be together, but we certainly are no stranger to these storms. But you see from the transition from verse number 5 down to verse number 6. In verse number 5, we said we're kept by the power of God, and it's the faith unto salvation. We're ready to be revealed, and we greatly rejoice about that in the beginning of verse 6. But then it changes, and then it says, now. As I mentioned already before, some people say in the sweet by and by, and we sing that song, but now it seems like we're in the nasty now and now, because the sweet by and by, it's a wonderful prospect of heaven, but now we've got to deal with what's going on. And I want to preach for just a few moments here, and we look at this verse number 6. First of all, I see there's a need. There's a need because the Bible says, though now for a season, if need be, if we take every word of God as it puts forth there, if it need to be, it needs to be because there's some things in our lives that God has chosen to allow to come our way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice that he might remove that, or that thorn might depart from me. And you know the story as well as I do, but God said, it's better for you to be with me to empower you through the problem than it is to have without the problem. And so Paul needed that thorn. He said it was better for him. They might be elevated above measure if he didn't. And so God saw that that thorn that he had was what he needed. Brother Lee Robertson, who pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church for years, where Tennessee Temple, and a great, great ministry, the camp where thousands of kids had come through free of charge for so many years, and hundreds, literally hundreds, went onto the mission field or the pulpit or the Christian schools to be teachers. But that whole camp became came to fruition, I should say, out of the greatest tragedy of his life when his little daughter, Joy, passed away and went on to heaven and named it in her honor and her memory, Camp Joy. I'm thinking about this. There needs to be, the Bible says, if for now you're in a season, it need be, you're in heaviness, but I see that there's a need. I read something this week as I was trying to prepare for this message, and somebody was talking about those folks that know multiple languages. Now, you've heard me preach enough. You know I don't even master the English language, so I'm not beginning to think I'm going to go for another one. But somebody said there's something about those that know more than one language, because you're trying to convey an idea, and you've got to take that idea that you've got in here, and you've got to convey it to your audience. And so you've got to, of course, assess who you're preaching it to or speaking it to, whether that's this language or that. And you have to take that. This author said this: sometimes when you only know one, you can fool yourself into thinking that you're coming across clearer than what you are. You just blurt out stuff and say it. And we've all talked to people, and their mind engages, or rather their mouth engages way before their mind engages. And so it just sticks it in there. We've all been there. We've put our foot in our mouth. Some of us put it all the way up to the kneecap in there. And your mouth goes without your mind. We understand how that happens. But this author was saying this, that it's a wonderful thing if you know multiple languages, because you are taking that thought and you're carefully deciding how you're going to convey it. And you've heard missionaries get up here, and they've spoken the other languages so much, they have to train their brain to get back into the English language. And this author said this: to suffer much is like knowing multiple languages, because it gives one access to so many more people. Meaning that as God allows some things to go into your life, you were able to reach into the lives of other people and be a blessing and be a help and be a comfort and be a guide to them, because it's almost as if you speak their language. And the scripture says, now, if need be, there must be a need. But not only is there a need, the Bible says there's also a variety of things, because it says you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Everybody that helped out yesterday, I'm so thankful for you that you spiffied things up around here, and I wasn't able to stay and help. I had appointments that I had to go to tend to, but we fixed things out in the flower beds. People cleaned inside and got things straightened out, did things outside, and Daniel headed all that up, but I'm thankful for all of that. We have a lot of monkey grass around here. That's that liriope, that just ground cover that is there, and a lot of that is, some of it's green in different places, and some of it's variegated. It's just got some stripes in it, and that variegated just means is variety. It's got some colors here and some others there and stripes. And that's what this word, this manifold temptations mean. They're varied. You may not be going through the same thing I am, and I'm certainly not going through the same thing somebody else is, but the Bible says we're in heaviness for a while. It's need to be because God allowed it to come our way, and we're in these manifold temptations, or these variety of things are happening to you. And if I got up here and said, here's how you need to go through ABC, here's how you need to go through these problems, you very likely wouldn't have any of those problems. You'd have C, D, E, and F. You wouldn't have the ones that I tried to get on. That's the wonderful thing about the sweet Holy Spirit. He can take His word and He can put it into your heart, because we're in varied or manifold temptations. There's not only a need, because God says, I've got you going through certain things, because you understand that God is not just interested in what you or I are going through right now. God's got your next week. If you've got a next week on this earth, He's got your next month, your next year. He's got it all the way done. And He's working in your life and in my life, not just so I can be ready for now. He's working in my life and in your life so that I'll be ready for the rest of my life, and we don't even know what's happening yet, and God's already been there and come back, if you look at it that way, and He's equipping us now so that when we get there, you'll have the supplies. You've all been camping before. You've done some of you don't camp, you just roughing it for some people is those hotels that have the outside corridors. You know what I mean? You know, that's, oh, we're really rough, and I got to walk outside, and oh, it's cold sometimes. I got to walk down to those motor inn. So you don't all go, but if you've been camping, it's frustrating when you get out there and you don't have the things you need. God knows everything you're going to need on this trip. Amen. And He's allowing some of these manifold, these various trials and temptations that you're currently going through to equip you for something you don't even know is on the agenda. And think of that next time when we get upset that God's allowing some things to come through our lives, because you can handle what He's given you today. But if you didn't take that and handle that and see Him work through your life in this thing today, you certainly wouldn't be ready for what's going to happen next month. We see that there's a variety there. And not only is there a variety, as we look on in that verse, and as I said, I'm going to stay right here, we see there's the heaviness. He says, if indeed be, you're in this, there's a heaviness. And so these things, there's not only is there a need and there's a variety, but these things aren't easy. I'd love to get up and say something good is going to happen to every one of you this week. I'd love to sprinkle some magic dust on you. I'd love to be one of those televangelists and just swoop over you and say that things are going to shine on you. But then you'd come back after next week and say, liar, liar, pants on fire, because it didn't happen like you said it would. And then I just answer back, well, you don't have faith. That's what they say. But the truth of the matter is, Scripture's very clear. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. This heaviness is that weight that comes upon us because of life. There's widows in this room. You'll go home to a lonely house again. That heaviness. The widowers that will do the same. There's some of you that you thought the weight, the heaviness of your struggles from 2 years and 3 years and 4 years ago would let up. And you've asked people, how do you get over this? And now you're going to have to report back to somebody else, you don't get over it. That heaviness stays on you. How could we replace somebody? We don't get away from that heaviness, and sometimes we have to be careful what we wish for. Sometimes we wish that we didn't have the memory, or we didn't have the heaviness, the weight of things. But if we didn't have the heaviness of it, I heard the greatest funeral message I've ever heard this week as Amy and I were somewhere at a funeral. And that pastor brought forth that if you're going to love deeply, you're going to grieve severely. And so in things in your life, the dearest people to you, if God sees fit to take them on to glory, that's a heaviness that isn't going to quickly go away. It maybe never go away. But I see that there's this heaviness. It's not easy. In the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, Jesus says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in great despair. He was under heaviness and sorrow. And so sometimes people say, I want to be like Jesus. Which act of the play do you want to copy Him in? When He's in Gethsemane's garden? When He's poor, bearing out His soul? Saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. We see there's that heaviness. My friend, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle, the Bible says, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are under heaviness. Because you understand, you're on the wrong side if you look at it in the world's eyes. Because the world is against who we're for. And so no wonder we're having battle or having heaviness, because we're doing battle. And so we see that there's this heaviness. I got to give you this last one before we leave tonight. Back at the beginning of verse number 6, I know I've done it backwards, but I wanted to save this till last. Not only is there a need, if need be, not only is there a variety, there's those manifold temptations, those trials. It's not easy, there's that heaviness, but then at the beginning there is a rejoicing. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Well, we have to rob back from verse number 5 to figure out what that means in verse number 6, because verse number 6 takes us back to verse number 5, and verse number 5 is that one where it says, you people, you are kept by the power of God. And so it's a good thing verse number 5 come before verse number 6, because verse 5 equipped us and got us ready for the trials and the manifold temptations and the heaviness that would be explained in verse number 6. And then it goes on, and we'll look at it another time in verse number 7, that the trial of your faith. We love the faith. We love to talk about that, but that brings along some trials to go with it. It's as if God is saying that you and I have it so good because we're kept. Wherein you greatly rejoice. I used to watch some TV shows, and one of them was MacGyver. I still watch some MacGyver. I think it came out in 85 or so, so I'd have been 12. And so MacGyver's always in some dangerous situations. Of course, always got out of them with one of those, what do you call that, Swiss Army knife. Swiss Army knife and a pop tab, you know, pop can tab. So if he can do it, you can do it, I guess. But sometimes your young mind starts thinking, man, it's going to look bad for this guy. He ain't going to make it. But as soon as you start thinking that, you got to remember what was the show's name was. You don't kill off the guy who got the show named after him. So you can rest assured it's all going to be fine for MacGyver. Well, I started thinking about that. The Bible says that we are called Christians first at Antioch, but we are called Christians, meaning that we're supposed to be like him, little Christ going around. We bear his name. Wherefore, know you not, you're bought with a price. We are supposed to glorify God in our body and our souls, which are his. We understand that we're his. So if MacGyver is going to be safe because his name's on the title as it came out and came in the introduction, my friend, you all, if you name the name of Christ, trials come, heaviness comes, and manifold temptations come. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's that next phrase? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If, what was MacGyver's first name? Nobody knows. What was it? Angus. No wonder he doesn't. No wonder he didn't want to use that. I just go by MacGyver too. If MacGyver was safe, Angus MacGyver, and they were always going to bring him out at the end because the show was based on him. He was written into every script. If he was safe, my friend, you and I, we've got a reason to rejoice. I'm afraid that we're looking down at the manifold temptations right now, the trials that we're going through, and we're forgetting to look up and think about whose name we bear. We serve a wonderful Savior. As so many people have sung tonight, we've come by the way of the cross, meaning we are his. Why did Job face all that he faced? I don't know. But God brought him through those manifold temptations, that heaviness, and blessed his end more than the beginning. Every trial that we face, as one preacher has said, is Father filtered, meaning it's come through him. He doesn't originate everything. There's lots of things that he allows. He didn't bring those things onto Job, but Satan had to check each one with him. And my friend, nothing slipped by God either in your life. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the time to be in your house. Lord, I'm overwhelmed tonight to get to pastor this wonderful church. Lord, I wish I could convey to everybody who sits in front of me how much I love them. I'm a blessed individual. But Lord, more than that, Lord, I'd like to say to you how much I love you. Friends, if you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm asking you to pray to Him as well as I am. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I've been looking at the trials. I've been looking at the temptations. I've been looking at the heaviness. But Lord, I'm needing to be looking at you. Thank you, Father. I pray if there's somebody in this room that's unsaved, dear Lord, that tonight you would just arrest their attention and convict their hearts and show them their need for salvation. Pray they'd come and be saved. And every believer would understand that the heaviness that's on them, dear Lord, is okay. It needs to be there for a season. And Lord, you're still in control. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And as they play, would you pray? Or maybe you'd like to come down to this altar and just give some things over to God. My friend, we haven't been in a hurry all night long, so we're not going to start now. Would you simply come, pray about what's on your heart? If God has gone to the trouble, and nothing's trouble with God, but if God has gone to the trouble of putting some things on your heart, I challenge you to do business with Him. These pray, would you join them? Either join them here at the altar if God's leading you. My friend, don't let pride keep you from coming. Just move on out. Come down and pray. Maybe there's somebody you need to pray with. I bet if you ask them, they'd come. Sing this song for us, Have Thine Own Way. And as he sings, and if God's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come. Again, we're not in a hurry tonight. We haven't been all night. But I want you to let God have his way in your life. Every area. Some of you are under such heavy temptation, heavy pressure right now. I'm telling you, my friend, just give it to God. Let Him have His way in your life. not leave until you do everything that the Lord leads you to do. You can look this way. I just feel like the Lord has just done a great work in our hearts tonight. And I don't want to hate to leave, but also understand you can't stay all night. I'm not staying with you if you do, so I'm going to go home a little bit. But if there's something that you want to share, Bobby's going to come on up and share something. I don't know if it's spiritual or not, but not that he's not spiritual, but Christy says he's not, but I mean, I don't always believe Christy, so.
What a sweet, sweet spirit of a service. As you know, Pastor shared with us a few weeks ago that Jared and Jody are having Pastor and Amy's first grandchild. Now, that put a new spring.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, that put a new spring in his step, but it did not stop the birthdays from coming. So, Papaw, we want to say happy birthday, and this also marks your fourth anniversary at Buffalo Ridge. And so we want to say happy birthday. We appreciate you and your family so very much. Not only do you faithfully preach the word and pray, but your family and you serve in so many different ways. We see him preach, we see him teach, we see him pray. But this morning, I'm told that he was caught with a handful of weeds. Not weed. So he evidently saw some weeds on his way into the service this morning and stopped and pulled them up. Pastor, we appreciate your servant's heart. Couple that with your vision, with your leadership. And we really, really appreciate that. We have a card for you. It's a small token of our appreciation. In that is a car wash subscription for the whole family. That means the cars. And as long, there's a couple of gift cards in there that Amy will spend as she sees fit. And I mean that once you see where they're from. So, all right. Daniel, I do not lead singing. You're in charge. You are in charge of happy birthday. So as we leave tonight, if you have a second, stop and say happy birthday to Pastor and let him know we appreciate him.
Let's sing together. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, thank you. Whatever it is in there, I am appreciative of it because I am I'm a blessed individual. God has poured his richest goodness out on me, I really do believe, and I love to pastor this church, and I love each and every one of you, and our family is blessed to get to be here, and we're praying that we'll just go up in the rapture with all of you all. And we'll just serve him until that day. But thank you, thank you. It is the joy of our lives to get to be here. And thank you for letting me pastor this wonderful church. It's just a joy. So Amy and I will be back in the back. You say hello to us on the way to go spend an exorbitant amount of money on kettle corn. So God bless you. You're dismissed.